Greetings in the name of the one who holds us through change and transition. So transitions can be difficult. They often entail a reordering of priorities, perhaps like leaving a job or taking up new work. They entail a complete reordering, a reorienting of identity, of who we are in the world, and of what we offer to those around us. Sometimes transitions can be welcomed. The new can be exciting and full and rich. And other times, as with learning to live without a loved one or the weight of time on our finite bodies, transitions are accompanied by loss and grief. Perhaps often they include both possibility and grief, celebration and loss. In his book, Crossing the Unknown Sea, the author and poet David White writes this about journeying in work and in life. It seems to me that every human life has the elements of a sea voyage, of a journey and arrival. That every human life is also like a vessel that contains innumerable other lives for which we have a deep responsibility. That this vessel journeys from one unknown sea to another as we go through important epochs of our lives, epics of our lives, and that every soul's journey in the world is like a captaincy. That is, an identity which is necessarily attentive, powerful, and responsible, but not fixed. More like a meeting place of the elements in which the known vessel and the unknown sea must join in vital conversation. And about the incredibly unsettled and unknown time of this 21st century, he writes this. We intuit that we are about to cross a great expanse to a new place, but our maritime abilities, our sense of captaincy, our courage, our responsiveness, individually and collectively, are under a severe test. Whether welcomed or not, chosen for or not, transitions are part of living. The newest transition in our household is now learning to care for two young boys, our first placement as resource caregivers, which came to us a week ago Thursday. It is a transition of time, priority, and self-identity. A successful day is now one where no one poops their pants. It's true. My Netflix algorithm, which has been mostly documentaries and dramas, now has to make sense of Captain Underpants. I am newly reminded of the lonely vocation of parenting or caregiving and the ways in which it is uniquely rewarding, though at a cost. I grieve lost time for the garden. It is a time of reorienting both with losses and profound rewards. Today's reading from 2 Kings is about transition. It is about leave-taking, loss, and having the courage to journey into the unknown. The prophet Elijah is being called back to heaven. He is returning to the sacred source from which he came. His student, Elisha, does not want him to leave. For though the story is about this personal transition and loss, this personal exchange of a prophetic mantle, the story is also about Israel's own changes, their own uncertainties and transitions. It is a story of social change and upheaval. As one commentator notes, the symbolic architecture of the account reveals that there is more going on than a report about prophetic succession. The episode, in short, marks a pivotal moment that inaugurates a wide-ranging reordering of Israel's life and faith. Elijah represents a past defined by Israel's on-again, off-again loyalty to Yahweh. And Elisha represents a significantly reconfigured future. The narrator tracks the transformation from Israel's past to its future through the interaction of these two prophets and the worlds that they represent. Elijah and Elisha together cross the Jordan from the west to the east and into the space associated with Elijah, who hails from Gilead. Yet only Elisha makes the crossing back to the west. Two prophets cross the Jordan. One is taken up and one is left. With Elijah's departure, the past he represents is closed. Elisha is left, and the future he represents begins when he strikes the water and asks pointedly, "Where is Yahweh, the God of Elijah?" Elisha must cross back over the river alone, and I can feel his profound loneliness and near panic. "Do not leave me here to do this job alone. I do not feel ready. I am not yet capable. And there is too much that is different, that is new, that is unpredictable. These times are too turbulent." What governmental rights that had been secured are no longer there. And where is God amidst this mess? Where is God in these times? Where is God when we need God most? Have we been left to the work alone? The question is alive. And perhaps it is the gospel reading that, though it does not answer this question, provides the direction for our own calling. When the time came for him to be taken up, Luke's gospel lesson begins. There is an intensity and impending timeline to the reading. Time feels too short, and yet somehow this clarifies the work. The work in front of Jesus is clear, though he knows it will be costly. Other priorities seem to slip away for Jesus. While the disciples hold on to what they know, which is self-righteousness, certain traditions and rituals, Jesus turns from these with his face set on Jerusalem. Between his final hour in Jerusalem and where his feet are now, he has many unknown seas to cross. But he sets his eye on the work ahead that needs doing, and he steps forward. Perhaps this is our calling too, alongside the fears and uncertainties that may accompany, as they did for Elisha, as they did for Jesus, as they may also for us now. And perhaps the work is akin to what Theodore Rothke writes in his poem, The Waking. I hear in his words, arising from grief with the courage to go on. I wake to sleep and take my waking slow. I feel my fate in what I cannot fear. I learn by going where I have to go. We think by feeling. What is there to know? I hear my being dance from ear to ear. I wake to sleep and take my waking slow. Of those so close beside me, which are you? God bless the ground. I shall walk softly there and learn by going where I have to go. Light takes the tree, but who can tell us how? The lowly worm climbs up a winding stair. I wake to sleep and take my waking slow. Great nature has another thing to do to you and me, so take the lively air and lovely, learn by going where I have to go. This shaking keeps me steady, I should know. What falls away is always and is near. I wake to sleep and take my waking slow. I learn by going where I have to go. May we support one another as we learn to go where we each have to go, trusting that we are not alone in every slow, steady, or uncertain step. Amen. Our hymn of the day is 584.